This is Lynn Tatum from New York City. And I wanted to say how much I've enjoyed your 4 podcasts. Thank you for many introductions to some cool websites. The podcast is so positive and really such a great format. The only thing that bothered me was Mike Calvo's referring to blind specialty products as blind ghetto products. And I know we have the whole First Amendment and everything, but it is a little offense. Well, it's quite offensive, actually. And I am right there as a person who instructs people in using assistive technology. I'm right there with the whole cost issue. I recommend System Access all the time. That's also a great product. I don't know. When I think of ghetto, I don't think of anything positive, I have to say. So I know it's not going to stop him from saying blind ghetto products, and he might use it even more now that I've mentioned it. But, you know, maybe think about it just a bit. I don't think you ever want to offend anybody.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Loft.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast number 5. This is Michael Loft.
This is Ricky Inger.
And this is Mike Calvo, I think.
Yes. 2009, in our face. You think we know. That's all that matters. It's all good. The topic of this show is portable devices, and we did a chat on Monday the 5th. So, Mike, what's on the big ticket for 2009? What can we look forward to?
We've got a lot going on at Serotech. As many of you may know, Serotech has just kind of exploded in the last year and a half or two. A great deal of growth and a lot of community members. And what we expect to do in the next year, well, if I told you, I'd have to kill you.
And that would make far less customers. We don't want that.
Yeah, so we'll spare you. We're going to do a few things. And one of the things that we're doing is we're really going to increase access to social networks. I have a passion for social networks. We as a community, because of transportational challenges and the whole thing about meeting a person for the first time and how are they going to deal with us as a blind person or what have you, have really been shy to kind of come out of our shells and talk to people. The interesting thing is that a lot of sighted folks have the same challenges that we do. This is why social networking has grown amongst the mainstream and why I think that it's an essential tool for us as blind folks to kind of gather and communicate and interact as a community. And that's really what Serotech and System Access Mobile Network is about, community. And here at Serotalk, of course, we have our Serotalk podcast. And I know that this year, one of the things that Michael is planning on doing is going to be to get other podcasters to join our little Serotalk community and various different types of things that may not be so tech-oriented, but are definitely lifestyle-oriented. But the one that I'm most excited about this week, it's called The Socializer.
Welcome to The Socializer.
Actually, what The Socializer will do is it will allow you to communicate with all parts of your different online social interactive life. Okay, and
Serotech,
what does that mean?
Where we make stalking easier.
You can be stalked using The Socializer on MSN Messenger, on AOL Instant Messenger, on Yahoo Messenger, and if your stalkee has a System Access Mobile Network account and they've made the mistake of adding you to their list, you can also text and voice chat with them one-on-one. Then, for those of you who like to tweet, we also provide access to Twitter, okay? And it's a very simplified interface to Twitter and to Facebook. The cool thing here is, so for example, you go into The Socializer, right? And you add all your different registrations, your MSN, your AOL, you add your System Access network buddies. And then you can just up and down arrow through a regular list view, and you can just press enter and communicate with them in whatever way you want, whether it be voice chat or text chat. If you have an account on Facebook or if you have an account on Twitter, all you do is go to your social networks link and click on, for example, your Facebook or your Twitter, and you can up and down arrow through a list of all your friends, and it will say their status, and then you can just press enter on that particular individual and send them a message or post to their wall or do whatever, but it's a very, very simple interface. These social networks provide a lot of ways for people to communicate and interact, but even with as simple as these interfaces have become with the advances of all the AT companies, it's still a little daunting to first get in there and use these things. And we want to really promote the use of social networks. And we've done our part by doing The Socializer. Do you think we should do that in a commercial?
The Socializer.
Oh, yeah.
I'm now kind of hung up on post-holiday stalking stuff. Or awesome tool. It really is. I mean, think about having all your communications in one place. It's going to help you not only be more effective, help you manage your time, do the things you want to do, and stay away from those elements of life that can waste your time. It's an awesome tool.
The other thing that you're going to be able to do in there is you're going to have like a bulletin board area where you can see exactly what's going on SAMNet. There'll be a little area there where you can see the different things that Michael has planned. And really, the atmosphere we're trying to set up here at the System Access Mobile Network is just that. It's a community effort. It's where you can actually participate and enjoy your time on the community. Everybody needs a friend from time to time. For those of us who are transportationally challenged, this could definitely be a great way for them to interact, and whether it be everything from just having friendly conversations to worshiping together to playing games, online games, to studying with the tools that we put in our voice chat. I'm really excited about that and other things that are going to be going on this year. Stay tuned.
One thing that we should mention briefly is our attendance this year at the big ATIA. I always hear that village people in my
head.
It's fun to hang at the ATIA.
ATIA in sunny Orlando, Florida, in booth 1608. So we'll be hanging out there. We'll have lots of netbooks available for you to come and get your hands on. Of course, we'll be demonstrating the latest and greatest with System Access and, of course, the enterprise solutions like Remote Incident Manager and such. And we'll have lots of other cool hardware, like some iPod docks that you can get your hands on.
Yes, I've been playing with iPod docks. Last year, I really got to say the gadget of the year for me was my iPod Nano. The problem with the Nano, of course, is that you sit there and you say, well, how are you going to listen to this thing without headphones? Well, there are many, many iPod docks. And I've done some of the research for you and found some of the very coolest sounding docks and that have been very flexible. The ones that I'm talking about this week are not inexpensive. You got to realize, folks, that if you want high fidelity, then you're going to kind of have to pay.
You got to pay for it.
The docks that I'm looking at today, I'm going to talk about one. It retails for $350, $250 online. And the other one retails for $399, and I picked it up, I think, for about $329 or $349 or something like that. It was a 10 or 15% off or something. The first one, it's the Kicker iPod dock. It's been sold as the loudest and touted as the loudest, boomiest iPod dock in existence. It is true. It's got so many speakers in it. It's got two woofers. It's got a sub, and then it's got what they call a passive radiator, which gives out this incredible amount of bass. On New Year's Eve, on the 31st, we were here in the neighborhood and we were just hanging out at a neighbor's garage and had this iPod dock. First, I'd play a couple songs off my iPod and then my neighbor would run over with his. And then another neighbor would come over, oh yeah, well look at this song. And everybody would be able to kind of plug their iPod dock in and play. And it was a really cool way to just exchange music, and everybody thought it was very neat that my iPod would talk. Both this iPod dock and the next one I'm going to talk about have remote controls. This remote control on the Kicker allows you to run the entire iPod. And that's important because the next product I'm going to talk about only allows you to navigate playlists and to turn the volume up and down and power up and down the iPod. This particular one allows you to actually arrow through, like if you were using the wheel on the front of the iPod. For a sighted person, even if they're using the remote control, they've got to walk over and look at the screen still to see what's going on. I can sit 15, 20, 30 feet away, aim my remote control at it, and push the buttons on the remote control, and the iPod will talk. So this is, again, proving to people that eyes-free navigation of user interfaces is so important, and what we consider to be a necessity, the mainstream would consider to be a luxury. And this is why promoting these types of interfaces is so important. When I spoke to the folks at Kicker and I told them that I was planning on reviewing this for the podcast, they were amazed. They really never thought about the blindness community as a community that bought iPods because they hadn't gotten the memo about the Nano.
So let's talk about the other one. You said maybe more for the bedroom.
It's the Bose. It's the Bose SoundDock 2. And the SoundDock 2 is a very cool product because it is both portable and great sounding. It's that usual Bose sound. It's probably about 6 pounds, 7 pounds, unlike the Kicker, which is about 9 pounds. You know, the Kicker is a big device. The Kicker is not portable in the conventional sense of the word, where it's got a battery. And the Kicker is great, you know, if you've got a dorm room, you want to start a party anywhere. Now, if you've got an intimate situation where you're going to have some folks over and you're going to be sitting out by the pool, or you're going to be sitting outside and drinking some wine, or going out to the beach, or you're going to the picnic, and you want to bring something that both sounds nice and is portable and will just fit the bill when it comes to audio, use the Bose. Cool for us blind folks, especially the ones that live on a limited income. We can go to Bose and they will allow us to pay month to month. So for example, you pay them like $69 down, and then for $29.95 a month for the next year, interest-free, they will sell you this SoundDock 2, their portable version. They also have a not-portable version that is claimed to be the same sound. I actually took a ride down to Best Buy and looked at both of these. The best deal is going to be through their 1-800 number, and that'll all be in the show notes. You call them up and you tell them that you want the financing plan, and there's no application. As long as you've got a credit card, they can hit every month, or a debit. They send you out the unit and you get it in a couple of days. But I got to check out both of these sound docks, the portable one with the battery on the back and the one with no battery. They sound exactly alike.
Do you know how many hours you get on that battery?
They claim you get about 3 to 4 hours of battery life, but that's also at full volume. And it also charges your iPod as you're playing it. Both of these devices have external connections, so you can connect a cable to your favorite MP3 player.
3.5 mil jack, you can cable to anything?
Yeah. Cool thing about the Bose one is that there are absolutely no buttons on it, except for on the right-hand side, you've got an up and a down volume control, and what they consist of is heat-sensitive little buttons. That's it. Remote control that you point at the front, you can only do on, off, volume up, volume down, previous song and next song, and go up and down your list of playlists. If you don't have a playlist in your iPod, it's not going to work right. So you need to create playlists in iTunes that are using Genius. And you can definitely then use the remote control in the unit. With the Kicker, on the other hand, you can use the remote for everything. And it also has a front volume control. As you're clicking the button on the front of the Kicker, it clicks through a couple of different things. You can change the source, of course. Interestingly enough, when I first ran the Kicker dock, I had sound check and my EQ on in my iPod, and those are basically enhancement features that the iPod uses to make the sound better. And they actually tell you to turn these things off when you plug in your iPod into this unit, because the bass and the treble that you get out of it is actually far superior to the EQ settings that you get on the iPod itself. And what was happening was I would listen to like some dance stuff or some hip-hop stuff, and it would sound pretty good, but when you started playing some rock or some jazz, it would sound kind of muddy, and it was because of the EQ that I had on the iPod. So if you get this dock, make sure you have sound check and the EQ turned off in your iPod. The Kicker is the most unforgiving one of the two. The Bose one is kind of a set it and forget it. The simplicity of the Bose is it's your best friend but your worst enemy. Like most Bose products, where you don't really have a lot of control over the way the sound works. It's just Bose. You turn it on, and there's a volume control, and that's it. There's no such thing as the perfect anything. But the Bose and the Kicker, I think, come pretty darn close. I got to play with the different iPod docks from several manufacturers, and I just did not find them to be what these two particular ones are. If you want a party, the Kicker is the one you want. If you want a nice quiet evening or a something that
or
you're going
to listen to,
you
know, jazz or classical, yeah, salt, new age, maybe the Bose might be more, give you the sound you want.
Something you can carry from room to room.
Exactly.
Something really is portable.
They're very cool devices.
Although at 9 pounds, the Kicker certainly doesn't mean you can't move it around with these.
No, but it's big. The sound from that thing is incredible.
So if you're really sound, you would say if you're really audiophile and you want the best sound, you're still going to vote for the Kicker.
No.
Maybe if you want the loudest.
Turn it up pretty loud, and it doesn't distort. I mean, this thing was
just
loud.
Do the mid sound good? I mean, like guitars and stuff that kind of hurt your ears,
yes,
or is it very smooth?
Actually, I mean, if you're close enough to it and they send you a warning in the box, this thing will distort your hearing. It is very, very, very loud. The Bose is not as loud, obviously, but it's not meant to be that way. The Bose is very quality. Anybody who lives in a metropolitan city that's heard, you know, the cars driving through town. Back when I was a DJ, I used to use Kicker woofers in my cabinets. Kicker has just been historically known for loud and great sounding, you know, but just in your face sound. Bose, on the other hand, is kind of that audiophile, you know, very quality, big sound out of a small package. And that is really what it comes down to.
At the end of the day, you can't go wrong with either. It's just deciding which one is best for you. We'll have both of those at ATIA at our booth. 1608.
Good morning. This is Gary Anderson in Massachusetts. Your podcasts are great, and I would like to see a demonstration of iTunes with System Access. Thank you, and keep up the good work.
Portable devices. What are you using for listening to MP3? Cell phones? What about GPS? We got a group of 10 people tonight, and I want to start with Bill Sparks. First, to talk about what you've done to make thousands of radio stations available to people with cell phones and portable devices.
Put together a string or a lot of PDA links. There's a regular link, and then I seen a need to make a standalone or a PDA link that would work for your Windows Media Player or Winamp or your mobile device. And I now have a cell phone which I can test these links, and it's been a learning experience, you know, not only have the regular link, but a separate link.
All right, I guess I get to announce the exciting news that, Bill, you will shortly have an OTR store where people can purchase, instead of the physical CD that's mailed to them, the actual download. So then they can download the 700 meg and then copy it to their Victor Stream or whatever portable device. So that's very exciting. I'm sure a lot of our listeners and users of SamNet will enjoy that capability. So talk about your soon-to-be-open OTR store.
It's going to be called Remember Radio. It's a downloadable OTR site. We've been doing it by, you know, on CD, but it's also going to be an additional download site. And that's going to be at rememberradio.com. We're just putting in the shopping cart right now.
Now, I noticed you're constantly enhancing your BillSparks.org radio website, and you've added a new feature where people can save and bookmark their favorite radio stations and even categorize them. So talk about that.
Yeah, we've added a new feature next to the report a bad link, and it's where you can add a favorite. You log in the first time, and then you can make folders, add your favorite, and store it actually there on the server.
We're going to talk about cell phones, and we're going to let everyone have a chance to talk about what you're using, but I want to start with Mike Arrigo, since you own both the Windows mobile platform phones as well as the Symbian-based phones. Some of the strengths of each one, and maybe some differences, which of the two operating systems you prefer and why.
You've got Windows Mobile, which is from Microsoft, and that comes in a couple of flavors, I should mention. Now with version 6, which is the current version of Windows Mobile, you have Windows Mobile Standard, which is the smartphone version. This is the version that you would have. There's no touch screen. They're usually a little bit cheaper. Some of them do have QWERTY keyboards on them, but there's no touch screen. That's the big difference. Then you've got Windows Mobile 6 Classic, which is the Pocket PC version. And then you've got Windows Mobile 6 Advanced, and that is a PDA smartphone. It's got the touchscreen. Its primary function is a PDA. Secondary function, actually, is the phone. Then you've got the Symbian phones. Different companies build their own interface using Symbian, and the most popular one now is Series 60, which was developed by Nokia. And again, most of the phones are made by Nokia. The majority of the Symbian cell phones all use a keypad, a cursor pad, to move around, which is what the Windows Mobile standard smartphones use. So you're navigating up, down, left, and right through the menus, and then you're pressing the middle of the button for selecting. And some of these phones have QWERTY keyboards. When it comes to stability, there's no comparison. Symbian, hands down. Windows Mobile phones, every time when I do my email, after I'm done, if the email client doesn't end up crashing during that time, the phone is so sluggish that I have to reboot. Not the case with Symbians at all. They just keep going. Both of them have a lot of functions that are similar as far as, you know, the menus, again, navigating around, selecting the items. Both of them have a media player, although if playing protected content, especially, you know, Windows media protected content, then a Windows Mobile phone would be the way to go. For MP3s and that kind of thing, both of them will work. Web browsing, again, Symbian. Especially with the newest ones, the screen readers, both of them, Tox and Mobile Speak, have features that are very similar to what you can do on a desktop computer as far as moving by heading, moving by link. The other difference, and this has nothing to do with the phone or the platform, but it's the screen readers. This in itself, for some people, is enough to steer them in one direction, Windows Mobile in this case, regardless of the other features. On the Windows Mobile side, both of the screen readers, MobileSpeak smartphone and SmartHAL, are user-licensed. And what this means is basically that you don't have to pay a fee to transfer the license to another handset. And if you want to use it on another phone, you deactivate it on the first one and then activate it on the second one. Now, with SmartHAL, when you buy it, they give you two installs, so two activations, as it were. When you use an activation, 6 months later, you get it back. On the Symbian side, both Tox and MobileSpeak, you pay for the license when you get, you know, your first phone. In the U.S., I think both of them sell for around $295, I think, for the screen reader. And then to license it for another handset, usually I think the fee is between like $95 and $99. The Windows Mobile phones are available for all four carriers in the United States, so they'll work on GSM, which is AT&T and T-Mobile, or Sprint and Verizon, which use CDMA. The Symbian phones will only work GSM carriers, so in the U.S., you would be limited to T-Mobile and AT&T.
My name is Don, and I agree about the Symbian operating system. I bought a Nokia E51 with Tox here about 3 months ago, and it's real quick, real responsive, excellent web browsing. It's an outstanding phone. I also have the Victor Stream. Use it some with the SA Network. It's great for downloading audio, movies, and things.
Matthew Suggs. I use a Pantet Duo, which is a Windows-based device, and I also use a QWERTY Bluetooth keyboard with it, one of stowaways, and a DJ Motorola headset. Works great. I don't have no problem with it. A lot of people say they have a problem with Pantet Duos, but once you upgrade the firmware to the 6.1 pocket smartphone, it works great.
Since you guys had the discussion about Symbian versus Windows Mobile, how about the sort of note-taker type functionality, things like word processing and such?
The Windows Mobile 6 comes with the pocket versions of like Word, and that's accessible. On the Symbian side, there is Quick Office. And there is a version of that that is accessible with Tox and Mobile Speak, so it's not built in. It's a separate product, but it is available.
Installed Audible, I think it's Audible Air, and also Skype. Pantet Duo works great. Takes a little time getting used to it, but once you get used to it, it works great. If you want to use Microsoft Word and PowerPoint and all, I believe you have to have the professional version because the standard version of this Windows smartphone edition doesn't come with word processing and PowerPoint built into it.
I also have a comment about the Nokia E51. It has a really good built-in podcast client already in the phone.
I want to talk now about GPS on your phone. And again, I'm going to start with Mike since you own both the Wayfinder for Symbian and the Mobo Geo for the Windows-based phones.
There is quite a price difference. In the U.S., Wayfinder Access for the Symbian phones sells for, it's around $280. Mobile Geo is $845. That's a bit higher priced. In short, they both will work and get you to your destination. They'll be able to tell you what's around you. Wayfinder Access, you don't actually install the maps on your phone. I think you can, but what it does is it downloads that from the internet using your cell's data as needed. So you can either choose to pay, you know, per kilobyte used, and really it doesn't use all that much, Wayfinder Access, or you can get an unlimited plan, especially if you use the web and email and that type of thing. But the advantage of this is you never have to worry about, you know, do I have this map installed for this state? It just works. Some people say, and it's a valid point, if you lose your cell coverage, your GPS will have problems. Although with the coverage nowadays, especially with AT&T and T-Mobile, it's not likely that that's going to happen. Not for a significant amount of time, anyway. I've never lost it. At this point, it's easier to put in an address heading for a destination, easier to put it in on Wayfinder Access, because you just go to a place, type in the numbers, hit the space, and type in the street, do a search, and there you go, assuming your GPS is connected. With Mobile Geo, first off, you have to set your default city, which has to be done once, but then you type in the number, and then you press the left soft key to go to the next screen, then you type in the street, and then press the left soft key again, and then it does the search, and then you find the address, and you select it. That's cluttered interface, when you can put all that on one screen. The other issue I have seen somewhat with Mobile Geo, it has an issue with telling you when you're at your destination. Sometimes it doesn't tell you in certain places. I had one the other day, actually, with Mobile Geo, where when I was walking, it said, your destination is 10 feet on the right. And that was completely incorrect. It was 10 feet, actually, on the left. For indicating you're at the destination, Wayfinder Access is better by far. All the receivers, really, you'll pay between probably $39 and $50. They're made by a GlobalSat. And the site for that is US GlobalSat, usglobalsat.com. The ones that are the most accurate by far are the ones that use the MTK chipset. The two that I've got through that are most accurate are the iTrek, the GlobalTop G33. If you find one that uses the MTK 51 channel chipset, that one at this point is the most accurate. MEA0183, I think, is the standard that these receivers are using for Bluetooth with PDA devices. All of these will work with either Mobile Geo or Wayfinder Access on either platform.
Let's talk about your portable devices for music. Do you have a specific device like a Nano, or do you use the Victor? What tools are you using for listening to music and audio away from your PC?
This is Tom Schill, and I'm using the Braille Plus APH Mobile Manager. Note-taking, internet browsing via Wi-Fi when I'm not near my PC, books, and MP3.
I use a Victor Reader Stream, which I love, and I've got a book courier and a book port. But the Victor Stream is a great product for playing MP3s. You can use it with the NLS books. One of the pet peeves I've got with the iPod, and you've got to transfer the music using specifically the iTunes software or other software specifically designed to support the iPod. It doesn't really use mass storage, at least for playing music.
I use iPod Video and iPod Nano. The iPod Video, I have it hacked with a Rockbox. So it acts like a mass storage device, and then I run a little utility to make the voice tags. But mainly I'm using the Nano now, and it's pretty accessible. There's some things I wish they would make a little bit more accessible, but as far as being able to read my books, convert the text with text aloud, and then make them an MP3, transfer my music, and rip the audio from my TV shows and listen to that.
Many are purchasing netbooks. I'd like to know what netbooks any of you in the room are using and why you purchased that specific device. Did you do research? Did you just go on a recommendation of someone? Let's hear from those of you who have purchased these portable netbook computers and maybe what you're doing with them.
Asus Triple E 1000HA. It works really great with System Access. I like it. It's small. It's light. But yet it's got a large enough keyboard on it where typing's not a problem. And I just have really good things to say about the netbook. Just an awesome machine.
Acer AOA 150-1570. Thing is real light, 2 pounds, 7-inch screen. Not that we need the screen. It's even got a built-in webcam, microphone. Got the built-in wireless, 120 gig hard drive. It runs like a Swiss watch.
USB CD drive for them netbooks for like $50 on Amazon that you don't have to have an extra power cord to run them.
I have an MSI Wind. I'm liking it quite well. The one thing I did find out, it can't convert WAV files to MP3 files in any quick fashion. So I would move that over to my laptop. But for listening and typing and so forth and so on, it's just fine.
I just ordered a netbook, and I'm going to use one for our store and website. I based it upon reviews. I based it upon the fact how easy was it going to be to upgrade the memory, what people said about the keyboard, the feel, the sound, price point. I was looking at a Samsung. Somebody talked on it on Skype, and it just didn't sound that well to me. The in-standard Bluetooth. So those were just some factors I used.
Someday, the CD or DVDs that we currently use could be obsolete, but many people still have their portable CD players. So since we're still making discs for some of those people, do any of you have any tips to ensure maximum compatibility with different types of players?
I will put them through Goldwave, where you could do the same thing with SoundForge. Set that to record them in stereo, and that will ensure that they play in, and I've never seen it fail yet. Do it in stereo, even though it's not actually stereo, it will play.
Found through experience also burning slowly seems to give a better result.
8X is good. I even go 4X sometimes if it's an audio CD. Well, first off, you've got to have a CD player that will actually play MP3 CDs, and not all of them do. Even if it says it'll play CDR and CDRW discs, it doesn't mean it'll play MP3, so it does have to specifically say that. Make sure that the sampling rate is still 44,100.
I hear far too often of people who corrupt their SD cards. Do any of you have any suggestions to minimize that?
If you have some vision, you can tell that a lot of times your card reader light is still flickering. Use the Safely Remove Hardware icon to actually eject the card when it's done.
I had a card reader that actually had a firmware upgrade available. Previously, it didn't support the SDHC format, and the firmware upgrade gave it that capability, so that may be another thing to look for.
I want to thank all of you for giving us some great suggestions, and I hope all users of SamNet will use our new Socializer. It will be the way that I communicate with you. There's a part at the very bottom of the window where all announcements relating to SamNet, cool resources, chat room discussions. Make sure you hear the 6th podcast that will be out on January 21st. We have some awesome announcements I'm just very excited about. Thank you for listening. We hope you will tell your friends and other people who may get some use and benefit out of these podcasts. We want to spread the word. And we want to hear from you. Some say your two cents isn't worth much, but we disagree. We want to hear what's on your mind. Call the Blab line at 866-997-BLAB. Or send us an email. Maybe even attach a voice file if you want. resources@serotalk.com. So until we meet again in 2 weeks, you've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB-2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.
You can change the source, of course. It's from the source, of course.
A source is a source, of course,
yes,
of course.
Yeah, okay. Of course, yeah.
Come on, dude, don't get me started. Anyway, oh, that's a horse, of course. Anyway, but you can click this button and pick your source. Of course.
Be careful, then, it sees you, but you...
if you click it again,
are you picking your source? Yes, that's okay. It's kosher.
Of course.
In public, no less.
Yeah. So
this day's been filled with innuendo. You ever have those days of just kind of everything, whether intended to or not, just becomes innuendo.
It just goes off on a tangent. Yeah.
My son told me one day. He said, "Dad, if you end everything with 'if you know what I mean,' it just gives it just." all that worse a meaning, if you know what I mean.
You know what I mean?
We're on like the
you
fifth do. Podcast, if you know what I mean.
You're doing the Jethro thing, if you know what I mean. Yeah. No. I'm talking about if you know what I mean.
I'm talking on my microphone, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I'm talking quietly, if you know what I mean.